What the heck is up, you guys, and welcome back to the Maker Made Podcast, also known as the number one podcast in the world. This is episode 34, coming at you live with, actually, the birthday boy. So I would like everyone to join me in a little sing-along of the happy birthday song. Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Doggy. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Everyone in the audience that was singing along, I appreciate you guys.
What's going on, dude? How do you feel, dude? Another year older?
Old. Dude, I always like birthdays. It's like, hey, you survived another year. Congratulations. Let's have a party.
Yeah, dude. Congrats for sure.
No, I made it. They tried, but they couldn't get rid of me. Couldn't kill me last year, and they're not going to do it this year. Yeah, it's been good. I don't know if you can pick it up on your mic or your headphones, but I'm still a little bit stuffy. Allergies have just been whack the last 2 weeks.
Dominating you, dude.
I don't know. I got one of those neti pots. Have you ever heard of those?
Oh, yeah. I got one. I had to use it when I was having really bad allergies a little bit ago.
Yeah, so that's been awesome. Clearing me out, but getting there. Had family in last weekend. It was really, really hectic, but good hectic. My sister and her husband surprised me, but my grandparents and my parents drove down. They did a ton of yard work, ton of housework, and we just hung out, so it was awesome. But now nice, it's back dude. To the grind, back to work, and woodworking and breaking stuff in the shop, the usual.
And hella coasters, right?
Hella coasters. Hella coasters, Cali boy. Hella.
We'll flash back to that, but I'm good. Thank you for asking. Actually have some fun stuff upcoming very soon. I just got confirmation on 2 tabletops for another maker he needs made. He doesn't want to futz with the milling and the gluing and stuff, so it's going to be a 54-inch round tabletop.
That's big.
A quarter alder. Yeah, she's a big girl. And then a 106-inch by 40-inch alder top as well.
106 by 40? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a beast.
Yep, and that's also 8-quarter alder. And then I believe I talked a little bit before about it on a past episode, but I have that 8-foot by 4-foot walnut top coming up as well.
8 by 4 walnut, okay.
So that'll be cool. A lot of big things coming. My back is very excited for that. But it's been a good past week or so. I got my drum sander in.
Yeah. You've been putting it to use?
Yeah. So I had a drum sander in the past. We've talked about this before. I had it for literally a week and then I got rid of it because I just couldn't give up the space in my shop at the time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really get to use it very much, but the couple things I did use it on, it was very useful. I've wanted one ever since. And then I got very lucky with this Laguna opportunity to work with them and get the Laguna or the Supermax 2550 drum sander.
Yeah, buddy.
And I've had it assembled for like 4 days now, and I've used it every day this week. So ever since I've been back in the shop, and I mean, the possibilities are endless with that thing. I can't believe that I almost let some people talk me out of getting it. Yeah. I don't know why anyone would not want one in their shop, to be honest with you. You can get by without it for sure.
Space is really the biggest constraint with it, because it's an awkward thing to fit it. And the wheels, the base is kind of awkward to wheel around. So I don't move
it's like
mine anymore.
46 inches long, dude.
Yeah. So it's definitely pretty cumbersome to move in the shop, but once you get it in a good spot, it's awesome.
Right. There's obviously different size drum sanders you can get, but I don't know. There's several makers locally who have drum sanders that I've used, and it seems like they never use it or don't like using it and all that jazz. And I just don't get it, dude. Like, I already know that I'm not going to be able to live without this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's one of those things that I got it. I actually bought it used from Mike Coffey, drove it back from Sacramento area, got to my shop, and for the first 3 weeks, I like didn't touch it at all. Mm. And I was like, well, uh-oh, this is a waste. and for the first 2 months, I think Charlie probably used it more than me. But now that I have kind of a good workflow, I'm using it probably every other day.
Yeah, for sure.
It really makes a huge difference. If you have the space, you can get by, like you said.
Totally. But like this weekend, I made this. My cousin had a piece of wood, really nice spalted maple piece that I carved a little. You know, I did some wording on it with the CNC, and then I backfilled it with epoxy, and then sent it through the drum sander to clean off the excess in like three passes. And you mentioned I have 80 grit on the head right now, and you mentioned something about the lines and whatnot. I don't know if I just actually did a good job setting mine up and aligning it, but I mean, it's freaking perfect, dude. I got no lines or anything like that. After the drum sander, I did hit it with the orbital sander at 80 grit for just like two passes real quick, blew it off, 120 and then 180 and 220. Put on, I tried a new finish on that project. I used that Atomic Finishes wood oil.
Yeah.
How do freaking you like it? Good, dude. It's I know we said we would never mention this name again, but it reminds me exactly of Odie's oil in terms of the consistency and application and things like that. But it's not Odie's, which makes it way better already.
And it's better than Odie's.
Yeah, and it works fantastic. I'm really pleased with it, actually.
Good. Yeah, So I kind of want to amend that statement that we were talking about the sand, like sanding lines through the drum sander. Man, we could just take a whole episode and talk about drum sanders because they are so useful. But on 80 grit, on face grain, and even edge grain, they're pretty simple to sand out. But on end grain, you got to work. Like on end grain, after 80 grit, I have to put 60 grit on my sandpaper, on my 6-inch sander to get them out. So I don't know, but that's just what I've noticed. Maybe I need new sandpaper or a different brand of sandpaper. Ideally, I'd run 100 grit is kind of what I want to start doing. But one of my end grain glue ups for those chaos boards was pretty sloppy, and I put 60 grit on it, and it just melted through it like nothing. Like, it made it so easy. Otherwise would have taken me forever. So,
and too risky to put through the planer for sure.
It'd lose about 6 inches of it if I did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be ebbs and flows with it, you know, but so far it's been super smooth sailing. Assemble was pretty painless. I made a couple of mistakes. That's just by me rushing it. But I really took my time to align it, get the beds all. I have the infeed and outfeed tables, which I got perfectly level. I made sure the head was perfectly aligned, and it is rock solid. Oh, that's another thing I did last week is I went through all of my tools in my shop and dialed them in as tight as I can, and I'm very happy with that. That went so well. I already am reaping the rewards of doing that. It's something that's been so needed in my shop, so I'm really glad I did that. It's just going to make my time in there much smoother, you know? I had to sacrifice 6 hours or so, but...
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to double back and redo things if they're done right the first time on like joiner planer. I desperately need to dial in my planer because the snipe's back and it's bad.
Ooh, you know, that's actually the one thing I didn't touch is my planer because it's been perfect for me. I should check the beds, but I'm not having any snipe or anything like you're having. That's kind of that's a big deal, obviously.
Yeah, so that's been a constant battle with my planer, but the joiner is a little bit out of square, which obviously is horrible. So but again, just haven't really been using it, so haven't needed to fix it.
That was kind of my mentality too, you know. I'm going to be using it a ton in the next week, and I have a couple of really detailed, intricate projects that require high accuracy coming up. And those tabletops, you know, for another maker, obviously I want to make sure that I'm setting them up as perfectly as possible. So that was kind of my justification for that, and I'm happy I did it. Definitely worth it.
Heck yeah.
How was the family in town?
Dude, it was good. We got a lot around, like I said, I had like a 24 foot long by 4 foot wide garden, like raised garden in the back, and it was just completely overgrown with weeds like 5 feet tall. I wake up one morning at like 5 because I'm on the blow-up mattress in the living room, and my grandparents and parents get up at like 5. So I get up, my parents, I let them sleep in my room. We switch spots. They get out, they go outside. I go into my bed, go back to sleep. wake up at like 8:30. Breakfast is made on the counter. They're outside picking weeds already. It was like 10 o'clock, and all 24 feet of that garden was completely weeded and just dirt.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, we didn't get much shop work. Did some like mower maintenance, changed the blades out, swept a little bit in the shop. But that's pretty much it. It was a lot of yard work again. But now I just got to maintain it, keep it looking good. And I did a call with Jobber last week. I got my account all set up, ready to go. Heck, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, prior to this, my invoicing, like the concept of invoicing was I'll text you how much it is, shoot me a Venmo, or pay me when I drop it off, which I think a lot of people do, especially people that do this as a side hustle, is very much, totally. Like, there's no serious, like no real invoice. But got an opportunity to work with Jobber, and I sent my dad an invoice for his stay at the Hotel Dogwood this weekend.
And I was on the call
with Andrea this morning, and I was like, so I sent my dad an invoice, and he's clearly not going to pay me for staying here. It's like, how do I get rid of this invoice without like having a bad debt or like not paid everything? She goes, oh, you just delete the client, this and that. Super helpful. They're really nice. They all know what they're talking about. They've all been super helpful thus far. But I haven't gotten to send a real invoice yet. I'm hoping to get that done this week. With this coffee table, get paid and move on.
Yeah. So backstory, I've been working with Jobber for about a year now, actually, next month, I believe will be a year. They've been super awesome, super fun, super, super nice to work with, you know, from a personal level, just genuinely nice employees, to an extremely amazing platform that they give me access to. And that is for billing, invoicing, scheduling, client communications, quoting, everything that a small business would need to run smoothly, they kind of provide pretty much for you. And it's in a very user-friendly platform with extremely, like Doggy was saying with his call this morning, extremely helpful and personable customer service agents that are very well-versed on the product, which is amazing. You know, you're not going to call in and get a call center overseas. It's real people. They're actually based in Canada. That's why Doggy did his little A.
What you talking about, eh? Sorry. Oops, sorry.
Yeah. But we got the opportunity for them to work with us on the podcast. So this episode is actually sponsored by them. Thanks so much, Jobber, for being a part of what we do here. We're big fans, obviously. Doggy's just now getting started with them. I've been working with them for a long time, and I truthfully mean it when I say that Jobber has been so heavy to blame in my success this year. I think it really has helped me take my business to the next level and stay on top of things. And I mean, there's times where people see my Jobber quotes and are like, wow, this looks pretty good. And I feel like that is worth its weight in gold right there. You know, when a client is happy to give you their money, it makes it much easier to you know, do what you got to do.
Yeah. It looks so professional because I'm playing in there and, you know, on the website, and it was like a kid in a candy store. Andrew was like, so you could do this, you put this in there. And I was like, what? Like, you know, mind blown on a couple of these things where you go into your main settings and you put in your address, your name, your business, all that good stuff, client's name, address, everything. And then when you build your invoice or your quote or whatever you're working on at that point, it automatically draws all of your information and puts it on the invoice, where in the past I've been on Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel, which, I mean, there's templates in there for invoices, which is totally fine, but it's not automated. I've spent tons of time trying to build invoices, make them look good, put my information in there, but all I have to do is basically input the client's information, and it just takes all my stuff and puts it from the into the template for me, which if you're rebuilding an invoice template every single time, you're wasting a lot of your time. But yeah, I thought that was super cool how everything was just like automatic. You can request a signature, comes up on their phone. They can sign it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so cool. And you get like a binding, like, legal agreement.
Yeah. And we've had full episodes in the past where we've talked about like the forms and stuff that you can automatically upload to Jobber that gets sent out with every single job that you, or every single quote that you send out. So when they sign that agreement, you know, that of course is binding, you know, and it makes them agree to those. It doesn't make them agree to those terms that you sent, but it's, you know, your, what's the word? Your legal.
They're legally bound. Contractually bound.
Yeah, I'm not trying to like make people sound stuck, but like, you know what I mean? Like, that's it's just, it's so nice having, yeah, it's so nice having everything in one place and so easy. So that's Jobber. If you guys do want to check it out, which I highly recommend for any person who owns their own small business, there will be a link in our description where you can sign up and you will get 20% off your first 6 months, as well as a free 2-week trial. And that's kind of what Doggy was talking about, where when you sign up for that free trial, they don't just let you putz around. Well, I mean, they will let you putz, they will let you putz around on your own, but you can also talk with the tech, get yourself all set up on the right foot, and they'll walk you through the whole system and all that jazz and really get you started.
You know how I am with software as far as like lasers go, like soft, mm-hmm. dealing with that stuff is a pain. And if you just said, hey, here's this laser, deal with it, I'm going to click around for a couple hours. I'm going to get mad and I'm not going to use it.
Throw it in the trash.
Yeah, exactly. But when I dealt with Jobber, you open the like initial interface, you're like, there's a lot going on. But what's happening is you're on Zoom with a Jobber client, like team member, and they're sharing their Zoom screen, clicking through it as you go. Right. And there were a bunch of times where I would basically just say, hey, hold up. What's this? Mm-hmm. And she would click through it, talk me through it, show me the, you know, difference. You know, if you wanted to say estimate instead of quote, because that's the easier way to go. Such little intricate details, and they really take the time to walk you through. I think I spent an hour and 15 minutes on Zoom with Andrea the other day, another 20 minutes this morning, actually. So easy. It makes it so mm-hmm. easy.
Yeah, dude.
And we should at least share, can we share a snippet of the Jobber home screen so people can kind of see what we're talking about? That there's like a lot of different tools on that main screen that,
mm-hmm.
let's see, like the different jobs that you're working on. You can check in like timesheets. If you're doing a more service-based thing, you could have different employees listed in there and they can clock in, clock out on certain jobs. There's just a lot of cool tools in there, scheduling wise as well, that maybe we don't need to, because I was just saying a bunch of them.
No, I mean, I definitely want to work with Jobber because this is going to be an ongoing thing, thankfully. We'll definitely get a little creative with how we can show you guys. That's if you don't already go check it out on your own, which I really think you should. And I know it sounds like we're being very pitchy here, but coming from me specifically, I know Doggy's kind of fresh to the platform, but he's clearly excited about it. He would have been excited about it if they weren't helping us here on the podcast. I've been using it for over a year now, and I could not live without it at this point. So if you guys do want to check it out, once again, there will be a link in the bio that you can sign up for a free trial, 2-week free trial, and get 20% off your first 6 months if you do decide to sign up. It's non-binding if you don't want to pursue after the trial. So I definitely consider checking it out.
Yeah, please do. You won't regret it.
Yeah. And then on to the next topic. We forgot to mention last week, but as of last week, actually, last Monday, mine and Doggy's episode where we were guests on the Maker Conversations podcast with Tiff is live. So if you guys haven't checked that out, I really would recommend you going to check it out.
You know what? That episode, I have fun with this every week. But that episode was especially I'm having fun.
Come on now. You can do it.
That episode was especially fun because we didn't have to do anything. We just showed up.
Yep.
And Tiff just took it. That was a super fun episode. Had a lot of good conversation about what we were doing and kind of our outlook on making and all that good stuff. But yeah, definitely check it out. Had a blast. Had a blast doing that.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, it's. I know we have guests on here. Primarily, it's just me and Doggy on here, but it's cool having another person to pick our brains. I also kind of picked Tiff's brain a little bit on the stuff she's got going on. She's also an extremely talented maker. She does some really, really cool stuff over there. We'll have links to the podcast in the description as well as to her page. Highly recommend going to take a peek at both of those. And last thing I want to shout out before we move on is I think that you should check out, I feel like I've said this like 10 times, but I think you guys need to scroll back a little bit. And if you haven't already listened to the episode we had with Petrie's Workshop on Etsy,
yep.
Doggy and I have been relatively aggressively pursuing Etsy, and we're having a lot of fun doing it and having some pretty good success. And I think that a lot of it is to be credited to Pete and the knowledge he dropped in that episode.
Yeah, Etsy's been booming for me. I think my stats went up like 800 or 1,000% or something like that in terms of views on my page. Mm-hmm. I put it in my bio, my Instagram. But a lot of people were asking about those bottle opener coasters, and I'm just like, hey, check out the Etsy link in my bio. And they've been going like crazy. But I would say the biggest thing I got from that Etsy is doing the custom listings. I do that for just about every order now. Even with my parents, they wanted a set of coasters for our neighbor for watching the house when they were gone. And mm-hmm. I was like, do an Etsy listing, and then we will do like local pickup or delivery or whatever, so you don't have to
mark. So hold on, let me cut you off. So that is actually not possible on Etsy, and that's an issue I ran into. They don't have a local pickup.
Yeah,
that must be brand new then, because I actually messaged Etsy about it, and it was a big bummer. Because I literally had to pay for shipping on something that was picked up if I wanted to get the credit and the funds released by Etsy. So maybe I'll have to look back into that. We'll come back to that, I guess.
Yeah, I listed it. You have to mark it in Etsy as available for local pickup. And there's an Etsy forum that I read that was basically said, if you want to do local pickup, message the shop owner and set it up in advance, but they can still do it through Etsy.
Interesting. Yeah, I do not have that on mine.
Yeah, we shall revisit soon, next week.
But anyway, that custom order things is a really good idea for products. You know, just kind of like what Doggy said, if anyone asks for something, be like, okay, I'll throw it up on my Etsy and you can purchase it there as long as you leave me a review.
Yeah, the reviews is a big thing, and I always tell people, like, please leave a review. It helps generate the organic sales. So you use your, you know, what would you call it? Like sending someone to your Etsy page to buy something that they reached out on Instagram for is kind of like an inorganic way to make the falsify sales on Etsy. Falsify, it sounds bad. It sounds bad.
Yeah.
But the more sales and reviews that you have, pumps you up in that Etsy algorithm and puts more eyes from Etsy seeing your stuff. So I think falsify is a bad word.
Yeah, definitely is a bad word. But I looked into the article about the local pickup thing. So you can reserve a listing for local pickup, but that order does not get counted towards your star seller status badge, which is something that I am pushing for, and that's kind of what we talked about a lot with Pete. So that was my big thing. And I had an issue with that because you have to upload a shipping or a tracking number, a valid tracking number. You can't just put in a random number. Because I had an issue with that where I did a custom listing for someone for something that I shipped on my own, mm-hmm. and it kind of messed things up. It was a total whirlwind of things that went on. But gotcha. I ended up just paying a little bit for shipping and uploaded it to whatever, and that was that.
Yeah, that's a pain. Well, I guess we'll see when we see, you know?
We'll see what we see, yep.
We'll see what we see when we see it.
Also, I Moving on a bit, we talked a couple episodes ago about that we're using, I think, a new website for our hashtag generators.
Yep.
So I just Googled hashtag generator, and the first link that came up was like toolzu.com for hashtags, and it's been working super well for me. But I just noticed yesterday when I went to go post, they limited me to only showing me like 15 hashtags. They wanted me to sign up and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I got hashtag paywalled, dude.
Paywall. They have I think if you put your base hashtag like coasters, for example, it'll give you like 8, and you like I pick 1, 2, 3 or so, you know, whatever. And then I delete coaster and I put in gifts, and then I pick like 3 or 4 from the 8, because if you want the full list, you have to pay the additional fee or whatever, but I'm fine with just picking the top couple.
Yeah, I was surprised because it had not done that to me, obviously, and I've done a couple dozen posts, I'm sure, using that, so I don't know. That was a bummer, and I wanted to share that, but I don't want to pay for that, dude. I really don't. I've gone so many years without having to pay for it, I kind of refuse to do it now.
But it's so helpful, it's so easy.
Yeah, and they work, obviously. I mean, I've been having pretty good luck over on the gram, so that's what Doggy was talking about with him only gonna make coasters going forward. It's because they've been doing pretty well on Instagram. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, they've been, those posts have been popping off, to say the least.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so those have been good, and I did that one today. I almost forgot to post it. And I think what did I do? I went into the garage and came back like 20 minutes later, and it had like 290 likes. I was like, oh, today's going to be a good day. Like, the algorithm is buddy. My favor.
Although you have a ton of likes. I mean, it has a good amount of views at 33K right now, but it has over 1,000 likes. That's pretty crazy for many views.
And I talked to Charlie Kohler Hardwoods, shout out. he got his weekly shout out. I talked to him yesterday or today, because we were talking about just the, like, with John Malecki, like, vanity metrics. Like, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Likes and views and follows to me really only matter when they're contributing to my Reels play bonus, my money from Instagram. Right. Like, I'm pumped about 30,000 views because it's contributing to the money that's going, that real tangible money that's going into my bank account in a month.
Right.
Everything else is more the kind of vanity metric, which, like you were kind of talking about, it's like, oh, cool, we got there. Don't feel any different. Like, I'm kind of not feel like it's not fulfilling as much as like, oh, this is fulfilling my bank account. So
right.
I'll take
totally.
It.
Totally.
But yeah. Try not to get caught up in some of those.
Yep.
But it's good.
I'm with you too. Like, I had, I think, the first half of this month and last month, August, were absolutely insane in terms of follows and views. Like, I have, I think, 5 or 6 videos that had over 1 million views, including that Craig Foreman post is about to hit 10 million.
Really?
For the second time.
That's pretty
sweet.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy. But I don't know. It's just this new algorithm. I'm going to sound so stupid because there's people out there who have much poorer engagement than I do. But it does feel a little bit unfulfilling. But it's still very exciting, and I'm very proud of myself and happy to be where I'm at for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that – let's see. How do I want to say this? Like, the issue with – like the vanity met, I don't want to say vanity metrics all the time, but like, it's like
the vanity metrics.
that's what John Malecki calls it. Cause it really doesn't mean anything. So if like, if someone's looking for fulfillment in something that doesn't actually mean anything, like, you probably won't get it. It's like I don't know. It comes down to the money to me all the time. Like,
yeah,
I don't care.
That's the biggest thing.
As long as I like the Reels bonus is, I'm on the largest Reels bonus I've had since probably February, and that, you know, X dollars is way cooler than to me than the bonus growth I've seen in terms of follows. Because I don't know, my mom was like, she was asking me, so do you? She's like, so where are your followers from? I was like, all over, like Iran primarily. Tehran. And she was like, oh, so you have like a follower in Africa? I was like, I'm sure there's a lot there too. Like,
that, right, right.
If there's internet, people have access to follow. And like, oh, like, she was very blown away by that. And I was like, no, I don't know, because I don't keep track of all my followers. Even
you can't possibly know them all personally, obviously.
Yeah. It comes down to what you're trying to get out of it in terms of fulfillment. And if it is follows, likes, or reels, then keep on keeping on. If it's money, probably gonna have to post reels and get likes and follows and stuff. So like, it's all like related, but I guess advice for people, like, I had been on a really cold streak with growth and posts, and it was just, I wasn't getting anywhere, especially with the reels bonus that I was on. But if you want that to change, then just, you got to post, and you got to post reels, and it'll eventually get swept up. You'll ride the high. You'll get a bunch of follows, a bunch of likes, a bunch of views, money if you're on Reels Play, and then it'll stop, and you'll be on a plateau for a while, and you just got to ride the highs and the lows, and eventually you'll pop up and just kind of savor those exciting moments. And but I do want to circle back on one thing, because that's Zach Hess. He did that really good YouTube video on that desk he made throughout the last couple months. And I know he put a lot of time and effort into that. I want to give him a quick shout out. But the thing that he always harps on is, don't let creating content get in the way of creating good, well-built items. Like, don't take all of your time making really crummy, horribly built, rickety things like drywall patches in the wall. Like, don't do that cruddy work to get, you know, I don't know. I think I just confused myself. Do good work. Film it. Post it. Don't
compromise the quality of your work just because you want to make videos and rush things out and stuff.
Where were you like 2 minutes ago?
I was letting you figure it out, see if you could even figure it out. But don't worry, that's what I'm here for, pal.
Quality. Don't compromise quality for content. I like that.
There you go.
Period. End of story.
And that's that. And I think we should sign off after that, boys. That's a good ending point.
Don't compromise quality for content. And I think on that note, we should peace.
Peace.
Thanks, Jobber.
That's it.
Peace.